He had a penchant for young women who worked at the mall, and he didn't mind waiting until the time was right. Little did he know that his time would eventually come, and that his downfall would be some chewing tobacco. This is the story of John E.W. Carter, the parking lot perv who was caught 21 years later. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. On February 12, 2000, a 16-year-old girl walked into a hospital near Appleton, Wisconsin. She was an employee at a Yonkers department store in the Fox River Mall, and that day, a man had chatted her up while she worked, asking when the store was closing. Later, when her shift ended at about 8:45 p.m., he had waited for her outside. She saw him walk past her car as she was leaning in to pick up her ice scraper. She recognized him as the customer from earlier, but didn't think anything of it. But as she got into the driver's seat, the man came to the door and threatened her with a handgun. He said something along the lines of, "I got a gun, let's have some fun." He forced her into the passenger seat of her own car and then took the wheel himself and drove them to a nearby car dealership, Dodge Country. There, he rubbed his genitals on her, but then freaked out. He told her to keep quiet, warned her that he had her license plate number, and then took off on foot with her underwear and pantyhose. He later got rid of her personal belongings, either while running or from the window of his car. The hospital did a kit on the girl to collect DNA. I'm avoiding using some words here because YouTube will flag me if I'm too explicit, but I think you know what I mean. The police also took a description of the man from her. He was a white male, mid-30s, 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, in a gray sweatshirt, dark pants, and a dark baseball cap. He didn't wear glasses, and he had short hair. He looked scruffy. They were able to find footprints in the snow headed east, and they thought that he might have been eyeing a local motel to hide out in, but his trail went cold in the mall parking lot. At the time, police were concerned about a serial offender in the Madison area who had assaulted or attempted to assault as many as a dozen women in early 2000. All of the victims were young women who worked at retail stores in or near malls, and he would attack them at night. Many of the women were lucky that their screams scared off their would-be attacker, but women were being warned to stay alert at the mall and try not to work alone. A month later in March, the authorities got the results back on the DNA from the Appleton girl's assault, and they were disappointed to learn that there was no name that matched the sample. However, when they asked the lab to compare these results to a DNA sample already in the system, there was a match. Just the year before, a woman had gone through a similarly horrifying experience. She worked at a mall in Janesville, a couple of hours away. As she left her job, a man with a gun approached her and forced himself on her. He told her that he does this, waits in mall parking lots for young women and girls to come to their cars. He had a black handgun, threatened that he was going to record her license plate, and left on foot, exactly like the Fox River Mall assault in Appleton. Luckily, this woman also had the courage to report the crime against her, and DNA was collected from the dress she was wearing. That DNA sample was the match in the system for the Appleton DNA. Since the authorities now had a definitive link between these two mall attacks in Appleton and Janesville, it made sense that the dozen Madison attacks were also related. Madison is only a 45-minute drive from Janesville. The thing is that this Madison man would stalk and call his victims before the attack, and he used a knife instead of a gun, so his MO seemed different than the Appleton and Janesville assaults. He was also short and stocky, while the Appleton and Janesville perp was taller and thinner. By August, five more assaults were added to the list, but authorities had ruled out the Appleton and Janesville attacks as being related. They were certainly linked to each other, but probably not to the greater number of women being stalked. Other than this linked DNA, there was really nothing to go on as far as the mall assaults were concerned. The cases essentially went cold. But in 2019, a new detective was assigned to the Appleton and Janesville cases, and I'm so thankful to these police chiefs who keep their cold cases in mind. Wanting to revive the search, this new detective sent the preserved DNA to a Wisconsin state crime lab. They now had a newer form of analysis that hadn't been available in the year 2000. In traditional testing, the female DNA from a victim of assault would sometimes completely mask the male DNA, or multiple male DNA samples would mix and become indistinguishable. This advanced, more sensitive version of the testing allowed the lab to focus on the Y chromosome only, which meant that male DNA was targeted. It could also show how many males were present in a DNA sample. Amazing. I wish I had more information on exactly how this new testing led authorities to their suspect, but this information hasn't been published. The local police chief isn't disclosing how this guy got in their sights, maybe to avoid tipping off other criminals.
In this instance, we got assistance from various people, to move the case forward. And it was just a lot of good investigative work, very tenacious investigative work.
I'm guessing it was some sort of genetic genealogy process, but however it happened, the DNA led to one man. Authorities found records from the time that showed he had been in jail for something unrelated just 7 months after the Appleton crime. Department of Corrections photos from the time showed that his appearance back then matched the description the girl in the mall assault had given. It took almost 2 years, but in February 2021, investigators went to this man's home and gathered two garbage bags from beside the road. The man used chewing tobacco, so they gathered his spit bottles and swabbed them for DNA. 2 months later, on April 9th, the state crime lab matched that DNA to the sample from the 16-year-old girl at the Appleton Mall. On April 16th, 2021, John Eric Walter Carter was arrested in Wisconsin Rapids and sent to Outagamie County Jail. He was 51 years old.
Anschutz police have announced that they have made an arrest in a 21-year-old cold case. A man named John Carter, a 51-year-old Wisconsin Rapids man, was arrested over the weekend. This in connection to a kidnapping and sexual assault at the Fox River Mall in 2000. Carter allegedly held a 16-year-old girl at gunpoint and instructed her to get into her vehicle on the passenger side. After the alleged assault, he fled the area on foot. Investigators say this may be connected to a previous assault in Janesville, but they did not have a suspect at that time.
They charged him with first-degree assault and kidnapping and use of a dangerous weapon. His bond was set at $1 million, the judge saying that to call him a danger to the community and a flight risk would be an understatement. In June 2021, he pleaded not guilty.
New tonight from Outagamie County, charges are filed in a decades-old kidnapping and sexual assault case in the Fox Valley. John Carter is accused of pulling a gun on a 16-year-old girl at the Fox River Mall in 2000. Police say he sexually assaulted the girl and ran off. Carter was arrested in Wisconsin Rapids last week. He now faces charges of sexual assault and kidnapping. Police say they used DNA from a previous conviction to identify him as a suspect. DNA evidence also links Carter to an alleged sexual assault in Janesville in 1999.
But in June 2023, Carter appeared in court and pleaded no contest. I guess he knew they had him pinned with that DNA. He said that, yes, he was attracted to the Appleton girl and waited for her in the parking lot. He did have a gun, but it was plastic, and he had covered the orange tip with black marker to make it look more real. He said he didn't realize his victim was only 16 years old, not that it matters. He also admitted to the Janesville Mall assault in 1999. Carter was found guilty of first-degree assault and kidnapping while using a dangerous weapon. Both are Class B felonies in the state of Wisconsin. His case in Rock County for the Janesville Mall assault is still pending. While he awaits a decision in that case, he'll be in prison working on his current sentence of 25 years. He'll also be registered as an offender for life. There isn't much information out there on Carter, so I did a little digging. I'm sorry, please do not call me a stalker, but it's public information, and I always think it's interesting to know what a perp has been up to while he was busy thinking he was a free man. John Eric Walter Carter was born on October 27, 1969, so a very happy 54th birthday to him last month. He graduated in 1988, married and divorced and married again, and must have been in the Army Reserve at some point because he mentions being at Fort McCoy in Florida in 2010 on Facebook. I'm not by any means an expert on reading court documents, but it appears from court records that John was convicted of 5 counts of felony theft in 1992. Then he was charged with theft of movable property in 2006, or at least a John Carter with his exact birth date was. Later, John and his second wife were evicted from their home in May 2015 and filed for bankruptcy in February 2019. She then filed for divorce in April 2021, and it was granted later that year. She seems to have filed for child support, so the two must have had a child or children together. It looks to me like they had at least 3, and one son appears to be named after his dad. They were taken to court by a local rent-to-own appliance store in July 2021 over a washer-dryer, dishwasher, computer, and sectional. It looks like they took out some of those high-interest loans, and an initial loan company also took them to court for repayment in November 2016. Then another loan company filed against them in October and December 2021, where they were determined to owe $8,500. In the October case, their wages were garnished to pay back the loan, and their places of employment are listed as Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools and a liquid activity center, otherwise known as a bar. Carter's ex-wife's Facebook page lists her as an employee of both of these places, which makes me think that Carter didn't have a job to garnish wages from at the time. I really don't want to invade his ex's privacy any more than I already have because I have no idea what she knew, and obviously she eventually divorced him. But I had to share this meme that she posted in 2021 to Facebook, the year I believe that she and John got a divorce. On her Facebook wall, she posted a picture that said, "Never using online dating again. Last guy said he lived in a gated community. Prison. He meant prison." And she, you know, the woman who recently divorced a man after their trash was taken to match his DNA to two assaults, wrote, "This should not be this funny to me." Good for her for having a sense of humor about it. You know, it's just so weird when someone's Facebook page is still public and you can see their whole lived life right there. John's page has posts about his wife setting up his profile for him, a meme about his children being his world, and a quiz where the results said his most attractive friend was his wife. I wonder if while he was posting these things, he ever thought he'd be caught. I wonder if he knew that all it would take was a fresh set of eyes to find new light in this case 21 years later. I hope that wherever they are, his victims have found closure. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.